Tunes and tumblers.
Welcome to Tunes and Tumblers by Atwood Magazine, a podcast where we believe that music is best enjoyed with a drink in your hand. Every week we create original craft cocktails and mocktails to pair with the songs of our favorite artists and invite them into our bar for a toast. So put up your feet and enjoy a cold one on us. If you're a fan of the show or maybe just entering the bar for the first time, be sure to subscribe and give us a rating wherever you're listening. And if you'd like to buy us around, check out that Patreon link in the episode description below. I'm your host, Anthony, and we're now deep into the Halloween season, and you know what that means. I'm in my Bermuda shorts and tiki shirt laying back on the beach with a margarita in my hand. That's just the reality of October in Los Angeles, enduring a climate apocalypse. If I do dress up for the 31st, expect the skimpiest cat costume you can think of. Yeah, please enjoy that mental image responsibly.
Stop.
I think about that every night, Anthony.
Eric likes it, but the rest of us don't. Stop it.
Well, of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business. So I found a couple of people getting dangerously dehydrated while trying to pick apples in 90-degree heat. And they are...
Kaylin, you're a cocktail artist.
And not far off from the true reality of me running around shooting Nerf guns at other kids, this is Eric Gallegos.
And our guest today is the creative mind behind one of our favorite musical projects. His musical journey began in DIY punk and skateboarding culture and morphed to include everything from dance to funk to electronic and finally the daytime disco that he is known for. If, like us, you've been weathering this blistering hot October, chances are you've heard his music gracing the many laid-back vibe playlists all over the internet. From the upbeat tempos of his 2017 album Heat to the radiant luster of his cover of Neil Young's Harvest Moon, he has been dishing out masterful moods for over a decade. He's here today to talk all about his new album, Blame It All on Love, a funky, soulful record which dropped last Friday and marks a shift toward pure, unfiltered expression in his music. Tunes and Tumblers fam, please welcome Jeff Paradise of Poolside to the pod.
Guys, hi. Hello.
Well, we got another big show ahead of us, so let's do our thing and catch up a little. What has everyone been listening to lately? Eric, we're going to start with you.
Oh, much in anticipation for our guests here, I've been listening to a lot of Poolside, actually. It's been very nice. Much like you guys down in LA, it's been hot as hell here in San Francisco, and I hate it deeply. But driving across the Golden Gate Bridge, through the peninsula, in this hazy fog, but also in this hazy fog that is somehow also 85 degrees.
Jesus.
A little Poolside on the radio has been real, real nice.
Jeff, do you want to tell us what you've had on repeat recently?
Well, I'm on tour, and so we're doing a fair amount of driving. You know, I listen to my own music and music that sounds like my, you know, I'm so inundated with the kind of like cool modern music that I wind up listening to weird older stuff that sounds almost nothing like what I make. So I've been listening to a lot of Bobby Darin. If he has many styles, but I only kind of knew a few of them, but he kind of had a Frank Sinatra period, which I've been getting into. He has a song called If I Was a Carpenter that I love.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
Didn't Johnny Cash do
he may have
like a cover of that?
I think, you know what, it might not even be a Bobby Darin original, but it's like his version of it. This live version that I particularly like. I've been doing that. There's this Herb Alpert song I've been listening to a lot. Then The Zombies, I've been really into.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Forget what album it is, but there's this one album with like a lot of hits on it, like Summertime and stuff like that, that I've been listening to. And yeah, just in general, just kind of driving, sort of easy listening, but in the like actual sense of the word, kind of music. So yeah, been really digging that orchestrated pop and stuff like that.
Yeah, the kind of passive music listening, just like vibes, setting a mood. I love that.
Yeah.
Kaylin, what do you have on repeat recently?
So I've been listening to Levy by Wilco quite a bit. I'm one of those people that will literally listen to a song that I like over and over again because you know, I'll like a song and it'll go on my liked music playlist on Spotify. And then I'll just start it from the beginning whenever I get into my car or whenever I'm going to start listening to music. And I'll literally end up listening to like the first couple songs on it. Like if I don't listen to anything else new for a minute and I'm just listening to my liked stuff, I'll listen to those first three songs like hundreds of times within days. So this song is kind of weirdly about codependency a bit. It's, you know, about always realizing like you have your faults, but you want this other person to constantly come and save you and make you feel better. And you know that that person has their stuff going on and you want to save them. And then you end up saving each other over and over again. And it's just this vicious cycle where you can't live without that person. And it's kind of, I've been there for sure.
Are you back in your sad girl era?
No, I am not. No. But, you know, it like it just kind of combines their signature blend of, you know, rock and folk and alternative soundscapes. And it's just kind of a beautiful song to listen to. So that's one of them. And then I always like mess up the pronunciation of her name because I'm terrible. But Rina Sawayama. Thank you.
I knew who you were going to say.
She and Empress Of came out with Kiss Me, which is just kind of this hot, fun track that's like super sexy and
is it
you
a
want
cover?
To make out with somebody. No, it's not.
It's not Sixpence on the Richard?
Sixpence. No. And I actually talked about a cover of that Wast last episode. I talked about a cover of that. I wasn't going to repeat that again, but it's the same title.
Well, now it's going on the playlist. It's going on the what have you been listening to playlist
for the third time.
And I got to cut down mine because if we're going to be putting like the whole thing on there, it's a lot. I've been listening to Zach Bryan's self-titled record. I've really loved what he's been doing in country music right now. It almost seems strange to call it country just because country has like devolved into like the bro pop space over the past several years. But this is like such a course correction. His music is just rootsy. There's a lot of Americana and folk in it. And it's so strange that like this music is what's topping the charts right now. His single I Remember Everything with pod fave Casey Musgraves topped the Hot 100 a few weeks ago. And I just love what he's doing, especially after all those conservative pop country songs that we talked about a couple of episodes ago. And also he followed that up like 2 weeks later with this EP called Boys of Faith, which has songs with Noah Kahan and Bon Iver on it. And it's just amazing. These two records together, I love it. They seem like anomalies in pop music. And yet if you've been paying attention, Zach and Noah and Tyler Childers are some of the most popular artists in the world right now. And that's kind of crazy to me. And you know, take this with a grain of salt. I was reading a piece by Grady Smith, who is a country music journalist, and he's calling this country's Nirvana moment. So whether or not you agree with that, I think this is refreshing, especially for like radio music. So yeah, check that out. Zach Bryan, literally everything he does is amazing. Very stripped back.
Everything he does is magic.
Yes. Well, no, probably not. He did get arrested a few weeks ago for being drunk and disorderly.
That can be magical.
Yeah, it can. He's a whole person. But anyway, listeners, if you want to hear more of what we've had on repeat, check out our YBLT playlist. I already mentioned it. YBLT stands for What Have You Been Listening To? You'll know you found it because there's a picture of a loafy kind of pug. I'm going to change that image eventually if I remember. But this is an amalgam of everything our guests listen to, what we listen to, and submissions from aspiring artists. Or if your friends are making music, send it to us. We love listening to new music. We love supporting up-and-coming artists. So check that out. But you know, everyone, it's that time. I need a drink, and we need to listen to some tunes. Let's get into that bar. And I hear the special that Kaylin's got is incredible and rather large.
Go big or go home, baby.
Yeah. But in order to do that, Jeff, did you bring a trinket, an ID, something to show the bouncer to let you in?
Well, yeah, I actually brought two.
Oh, wow.
We're going to start with this form of identification, my Oakley shades here.
Hell yeah.
So nerd, you know, when you're hungover, you know, you can just look cool.
And yeah, you got a nice purple tint too. So that really must make things nice.
In the beverage world, this is my travel coffee grinder. And I don't remember the actual like name of the brand, but it's way better than the other one I had. This one costs like $75 and you can grind your coffee.
It looks like a pepper shaker.
It's a burr grinder, my friends. Man, I need one right now. I'm going to find that.
Yeah. And this one has a bearing in it. So you can actually like spin it both.
Oh, God.
It's like a fidget spinner for adults.
Yeah, it is like a fidget spinner. But yeah, I've been making coffee in my hotel rooms and on tour bus every morning. And so I just thought this might be a little interesting ID I could show you guys.
The bouncer takes everything.
Yeah,
he takes everything.
He's not a very conventional bouncer.
He's kind of a hoarder.
We get a lot of unsavory types, but it ends up balancing out the vibe, so it's all right.
I used to check IDs at bars in San Francisco.
Oh hell yeah!
I've been a bartender for like 10 years, so.
Oh no way!
What was the most ridiculous fake you received?
Oh, so many. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People from Europe would come and just be like, "Oh yeah, this is my ID," and it'd just be literally like some like card, laminated piece of paper. I'm like, no, dude. So yeah.
Sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, that was Europeans would be very radical about what they wanted accepted. So anyway, yeah. It was a fun job.
You gotta love the audacity there.
Take my library card now.
Yeah, they just had no idea how strict everything was. They're like, what?
Yeah,
it's like I'm drinking. Yeah, like it's
the one that always got me is that EU ID cards, right? So those were like big ones. They're just like a driver's license, but you're not allowed to take those as a bartender in the United States. It has to be a passport. And every time, like, I wish I could take this, my friend. I'm so sorry, but I have to see your passport. Like, I don't have it. I'm like, okay, well, sorry.
Wow. What bar do you work at?
Well, I don't bartend anymore, but I used to bartend at a spot in Seattle down the street from my apartment. I bartended a little bit here at a place called Toronado.
Oh, yeah. Classic spot.
Old school beer bar, but I didn't do too many shifts there. I'm an engineer now, so like I hang out there a lot, and they found out that I used to bartend. It's like, you want to take a few shifts? I was like, sure. And then after like 3 or 4, I'm like, I don't need to do this anymore.
This isn't fun
Fair
anymore.
Enough. Fair enough.
I'm not having fun now.
Yeah. It's fun to make drinks at home for friends and whatnot. I do still love pouring beer, but it's just one of those things where like, man, when you have to work a day job, I don't have any energy to do this anymore.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Well, you know, that worked as most IDs do here. And we're in. Welcome to the Tunes and Tumblers bar, Jeff. It's still kind of a thing of imagination, but that means it can look like however we want it to. Eric, what does the bar look like to you today?
The bar looks to me like a, I don't know, I'm too hungover to see what's going on. Everything's spinning.
You also have spinning your sunglasses around. On.
I don't have my sunglasses on, but that might help. So I might steal Jeff's here in a second. We can share them for the rest of the night.
So we're basically just in a spinning room. That's
Yeah, actually, that's perfect.
It's a merry-go-round.
Spinning room and everything is too hot.
Anthony, don't puke.
That sounds really bad for a bar. If you're serving a lot of alcohol, the room should not be spinning on its own.
That's true.
Magical. Well, you know, every version of the Tunes and Tumblers bar contains our world-famous jukebox that can play anything we want. Eric, what are we listening to today?
Well, I'm actually going to change the vibe of the bar today. I read in the little profile we got that Jeff here spent $50 at a Radio Shack, and that's been some of his equipment for a long time. So we're actually just inside an abandoned Radio Shack today.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
That's cool.
I haven't been in a Radio Shack in so long. I feel like my mom used to have to go there all the time when I was younger.
I think they closed.
They did.
They're no longer in business.
Oh, yeah, no, they did.
Went bankrupt. So that's why it's abandoned.
If you need a new remote control, you're fucked.
But no, today we're going to listen to, as we mentioned, Jeff's here, Poolside Sports Studio album. We got a little taste of what that sounds like, and I absolutely loved it. I think Anthony was on the same page on that one. Jury's still out for Kaylin.
I am 100%. I have listened to it so many damn times now. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's called Blame It All on the Love. Yep. And it's a nice little, I think it's a good mix of a bunch of different things. Still got some very relaxing, chill, funky beats. But there's a difference. I think each song kind of has very much its own little adventure that you go on. We're going to take a little peek at it today in the bar. So everybody relax and enjoy.
Poolside vibes in this abandoned Radio Shack.
It's so good. That is like the perfect setting for this album, honestly. Like
an abandoned Radio Shack.
Well, yeah, because everything Jeff, like everything you went through when you were writing this album, like, I mean, shit, to have to like sit outside with binoculars every night, like scouring your neighbor's human trafficking situation.
Whoa.
I mean, just the deep, dark tones of this album, even though your music is really like fun and you can listen to it with, you know, your cocktail by the water and like we're having a good time. But like it really does have this sort of undertone to it of like, oh, shit, everything's everything is temporary here. This good feeling like could shatter any moment. There is a dark side to it. There is the potential for things to go wrong. And I think that is true in any aspect of life. You can't have the highs without the lows.
Yeah. And listeners, if you're confused about the human trafficking statement, maybe we're going to get to it a little later on.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of us.
Yes. We first need to know what drink you have prepared for Blame It All on Love.
So this is called the Obscure Underbelly of Love. And because Jeff likes mezcal and because I wanted something that sort of shifted through time and changed and had this sort of dark tone to it, I decided to use butterfly pea flower tea and made ice cubes out of it. So as the ice melts, it changes the color of the liquid in the glass. The ice cubes are like this really beautiful, like bright blue. And where they're melting, like at the top of the glass, it's starting to turn like this dark, dark purple. And the rest of the glass is still kind of this light pinkish color. And so using mezcal, lime juice, and ginger beer, and a little bit of bitters, you get kind of this refreshing sort of smoky flavor. And it's a big glass, but most of it is ginger beer. Okay, Anthony?
Okay.
So this is to all the good that comes from love, but also the fact that there is a darker side to it.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Tunes and Tumblr spam, stick around because when we come back, we're talking to Jeff Paradise all about Blame It All on Love and love's obscure underbelly. Cheers.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Listeners, welcome back. We're here with Jeff Paradise of Poolside. I want to kind of get into this album. So like I said in our intro, the album kind of marks a significant shift in your musical style from kind of like electronic to more like funky, soulful sounds. I'm wondering what inspired this creative evolution for you.
Well, it's my fourth studio album. And yeah, the first album was literally just me and a buddy kind of getting drunk in a pool house in Los Angeles, making songs that we thought would fit that kind of environment. And there's a little bit of deliberateness to the music in that regard. It was very carefree and we had no expectations it would succeed in any way, but still it kind of created this blueprint that the next two albums following it were, you know, variations upon that theme. And so for my fourth record, I was just like, well, do I really want to be this forever or do I need to break out? You know, it's not a huge, say, sonic departure, but I just kind of threw the playbook, so to speak, the like mindset of being like, I'm going to make a Poolside record out the window and just was like, I'm just going to make a Jeff record, like whatever I feel like doing. It's not off limits anymore. So, you know, I started as a DJ electronic project and now it's evolved into a live band as well. We do both, but it's kind of the main presentation now is live. So anyways, just all those inspirations just was like, you know what? I have my own studio now, like a pretty proper studio, all these things that I just was like, you know, I don't want to be successful or whatever at something I don't love. And so I've just really been inspired always to do what I want, because even if I had like a radio hit and I was just like, fuck, I don't want to play that song ever again, or, you know, it just wasn't me, you know, that would be a really feel like, you know, wearing a costume. And so, yeah.
Because that's never happened to anybody famous. That's for sure.
Yeah. I it's sort of even without being famous, you know, I was a regional Jeffrey Paradise is my solo project. I was like a sort of regional DJ, a little bit of international, but not hardly. And, you know, just eventually that you're kind of having to keep up with trends in that world, or at least I was.
Sure.
I wasn't like an artist forward DJ. I was more just like, I'm a good DJ. So mm-hmm. then all of a sudden that sound started evolving more like harder when it got super big room EDM and dubstep. I was just like, dude, I'm not this guy. Like I'm too old for this shit. Essentially, I'm like, you know, I was in my 30s at that point, and I was just like, I can't. So I shifted to doing poolside because, yeah, I love DJing and music, but even following that passion eventually led me down a road of being like, man, this isn't for me anymore. So I'm really trying to, you know, I'm very much sticking down the road of like, this is me. So hopefully that answers the question. It's a little, you know, circuitously, but yeah, that's how.
You said you did a little DJing last night. How did that set compare to, I guess, the Jeffrey Paradise of old?
So poolside, when poolside was just a DJ, or, you know, just played a lot more of my original music because that was the only time you could hear it. In a sense, when you came to see me DJ, you'd want to see my songs. But now that we do the live band, I'm opened up a lot more as a DJ. I play a lot more like kind of tropical techno, if you will, like a lot of Brazilian electronic music and things inspired by that. And I still throw in like poolside remixes and other stuff, a little more up-tempo than the originals, because the original stuff is usually pretty mellow. But I don't go like super hard, but you know, it's just kind of groovy disco with like a lot of tropical influences as well. So it's a lot of fun, actually. We played a club called Superstition in Austin, and yeah, it went off. A lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So do you still like Harvest Moon as much as everyone else does?
That's a good question. Probably not as much, but I think Neil Young is such a good song. That's a cover song of Neil Young.
Yep.
Some people know that, some people don't. But
if you don't, how dare you?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, he's such a great songwriter, and it's like the simplicity of the song and the sort of complexity, perhaps isn't the right word, but it's like this simple song, but it's like perfect, plucked from the sky, like this perfect song. So it's hard to get sick of it, you know, because it is just even the moment as I play it and listen to it, sing it, it's just like, I'm like, man, this is still like a perfect song.
Mm-hmm. So I use that song to make people fall in love with me for sure. That version too. Like I told somebody the other day, I was like, you know, honestly, when I think about it, the poolside version is, I'd rather not listen to the Neil Young.
The definitive version.
Yeah, the divine version.
I have a confession to make. I did not know that was a Neil Young song. I didn't listen to a lot of Neil Young.
Never been more upset with you.
Jesus,
in my life.
Anthony.
So when Casey
Musgrave.
And I've
known you since seventh grade.
Wait, you thought it was a Casey Musgrave?
No. You're not letting me tell
the
story.
All right.
So like when Casey Musgraves came out with her cover, I'm like, oh, Casey Musgrave listens to Poolside. And then I don't remember if it was you or someone else or like, that's a Neil Young song. And I was like,
yeah, it was probably me. There's so many covers of it, honestly. And I've listened to a lot of them.
Did Casey Musgraves cover it too?
Yeah. Like
everyone has covered
ago.
It. I think Harry Styles covered it the other day.
Yeah, no, we went on tour. She took us on tour. She was a fan.
Oh, damn.
And we toured with her right as she was kind of blowing up. We were actually supposed to write a song together right before she blew up. They were like, yeah, she'll come to your studio. She's super easygoing. I'm like, it's in a garage. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And then 6 months later, she's like a massive celebrity.
Well, now she's stolen your cover. So
yeah, it's kind of not like hey, you know.
Maybe she did listen to Poolside. Maybe Anthony has a point. She listened to Poolside's cover and was like, oh, I can do that too.
You might be right.
Yeah. Maybe she just like digs your music so much and your sound. She wanted to try to like find her own way with it. I don't know.
Fair game, but whatever. I'm surprised. That's funny. But I am a fan still of Casey Musgrave. I like her. That album that came out around whatever, 2019, 18. I don't know. That was a good one.
Golden Hour,
yeah.
I kind of want to get back to the album because I'm sure listeners are very intrigued or confused about your statement earlier, Kaylin, about the process of writing it. There was like some stuff going on with your neighbors, Jeff. What's the story behind there if you want to tell it?
Quickest version, how kind of it relates to the title, Blame It All on Love, is my girlfriend and I kind of bought our dream house in the like hills of Malibu. And on literally the working on the record up there, building out a studio, literally this crazy ass story. So I'm driving home one morning and there's like, it's such a long story, but yeah, these two motorcyclists were like hit on the ground. Like it's a hilly road and motorcycles drive up there a lot, but they're on the ground like bleeding. And I'm like, pull over. I'm like, whoa, what's up? Like, are you guys okay? Obviously they're not. I call the police. This is the craziest story. I've never really had to recount it just like in a podcast form, but
We're enjoying it.
This is going to work as like be interesting. But so then this woman appears and she's like, oh my God, like I saw this happen. There's a guy's trying to kill them. And she's trying, he's kind of kill me. And I've been human trafficked and all this like crazy stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just in like some sort of shock. I'm like, what do I do right now? Like, this is so out of my, you know, normal experience. So I'm like, all right. There's like pretty bad cell reception. So we like, I get her in the car. We drive up to the top of the hill. We call the police. She's telling them the story about like her ordeals, a guy with a knife, all this stuff. You know, at this point, the cops have come. And so we drive back down, drop her off with the police. The guys in the motorcycles were, my motorcyclist said someone hit us intentionally. And so it's like this, like all this crazy like life thing that you're not really prepared for. And you're just dealing with, it's all like unfolding. So anyways, that was kind of like it for a minute. And then it just started getting more and more crazy, the story. And the police come to my house to talk to me and they start saying like, oh yeah, so like there was the people like in this abandoned house and, you know, there's like all this stuff happening and we can't get them out because of, what is it called, squatters' rights. Mm-hmm. And it's all related to this accident. And then I ID the woman that like I drove up and they're like, yeah, we believe she was the one that hit these guys on the motorcycle and she's wanted for murder now. And all these, just like literally, that sounds so crazy, but wow. this is all happening. And I'm just like, wow, this is like totally crazy. And so, yeah, me and my neighbors started like, it's like kind of, it's a ways down away from us, but still like, it's kind of a rural neighborhood. So we were just like, well, what the hell? Like, you know, we were like kind of on the lookout and with literal binoculars and doing all sorts of crazy, like vigilante stuff and like, you know, calling the police all the time. And yeah. And then so, you know, finally they got a hold of the owners of the house. They were away in Africa, I think, anyways. Wow. And so it all got kind of resolved eventually in an anticlimactic way. There's no like explosion that happened or anything, but it was just like moving into your dream house, working on your dream record, signing a record label, doing everything you like ever wanted to do. And then you're like, world gets like very destabilized by some like crazy ass shit. So Blame It All on Love is the title. There you go.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. Poolside is the Batman of Malibu.
Yeah, basically.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more layers. That's like, I think the best sort of, you know, linear version of the story.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
damn. Welcome to the neighborhood, I guess, is what that was. Right.
Exactly. It's wild. Up in the hill, they call it Malabama, in the hills of Malibu. It's because it's not bougie at all. It's very like rugged and rustic up mm-hmm. there. So yeah, it's not like the beach.
So I think this really plays into what you were saying, Kaylin, about the title of the drink, the obscure underbelly of love. I feel like love in our collective consciousness is kind of like this wonderful, uplifting, pure thing that's supposed to bring us happiness, but it has its shadow side. It has its human trafficking side. But yeah, there's all these realities that kind of make it this bittersweet experience. I want to know from you, maybe from Eric, maybe from Jeff, like, what is love's obscure underbelly to you?
I mean, you know, I kind of touched on this for a minute, that there's this idea that everything is temporary. There's only one thing that's permanent in life, and that's obviously death.
And taxes.
Death and taxes, unless you're really rich and then you can avoid paying taxes.
Yeah,
altogether.
That's true.
Never mind. I'm a liar.
All right. Yeah. Don't bring lies into this. So, you know, when you start a relationship with anybody, whether it's a friendship, whether it's, you know, you're connecting with your family, whether it's a romantic connection, you know, your time with them spent, you know, it can be really happy, or you could get in an argument, or anything can happen. And it can kind of have this ebb and flow that just peopling with other people is really hard. And you can love someone so deeply, but still have moments where you disappoint them, or where they disappoint you, or where you get frustrated, or where you get annoyed. And you have all these feelings that, you know, come and go between the, oh my God, I love you so much, I want to embrace you, I want to melt with you kind of feelings. And I think that's what makes those feelings so special. Like I said, you can't have the highs without the lows. And if you don't have those like really hard moments with another person, you're not going to have those really exciting high moments either. And so you have to sort of have this like underbelly of this really good thing in order for it to actually balance out and work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that. I think to me, it's kind of like, you know, we're always shown the happily ever after part of the story, but, you know, how can you truly say and after? Like, where is the end point?
I want to know how many times she leaves her goddamn shoes on the floor.
Who's Cinderella?
I mean, whichever. You know.
I think love is a choice. Love is something that you work at. Love is something that you have to want, because it's people are complicated. No matter who you love, there's going to be something that doesn't go as planned. And, you know, whether that's like a motorcycle accident that like kind of brings a lot of seedy things out of the woodwork, or that's just you find out that they don't like music as much as you do and don't want to go to concerts.
That would be so sad. I'd be so upset.
I met someone the other day who was like, I don't like music. And I was like, excuse me. Like, yeah, it's just noise.
That's such a weird statement to make. I don't like music. It's like,
get what? Away from me.
Yeah. I say that sometimes in interviews as a joke. That they think about.
I don't actually like music. I'm just joking.
But yeah. Just the money is fine.
This whole career is a joke.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I think, you know, with love, I think it's along those lines, what you guys, echoing both of what you guys are saying. It's just like I fall in love with this, like, I wouldn't even call it like an ideal, but perceived kind of concept of what that thing or person or experience will be. And even when I'm right about that and it's amazing, it's like in a few days, months, something, it's back to like, well, this is just now normal. And, you know, that's that ephemeral quality of love. And back to like, you do have to work for it. I think in that sense, I would echo that, is that because even when it's exactly what you hoped for, you kind of just wind up being you and things wind up being whatever they were. You don't want to feeling all that different about it eventually. And so it's like that constant struggle to do what you love, to go for what you love, but then knowing like it's going to feel normal pretty soon.
Yeah, so that new relationship energy wears off pretty fucking fast sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I brought this up before, but I was reading a book that was talking about like chemically what love does in your brain. And it's like right at the very beginning, it activates the same pleasure centers that cocaine does, or other uppers, other amphetamines. And like once you settle into it, it's the same pleasure centers as alcohol. So it's kind of like a sedative thing where it's not bad, but it's like that kind of warm, comforting feeling. So I mean, like, that's a big difference. And maybe you get addicted the way you would to amphetamines, to like new relationship energy, but is that really like a fulfilling thing? Like, are you going to choose the harder thing that's going to be fulfilling to you in the long run?
I think that's a good question for any fuck boy.
Hey, pizza.
Oh, from a fuck boy perspective. Just kidding.
No, Jeff, please continue.
Yeah, we want to hear that.
No comment.
So we're kind of getting to the end of the interview portion here, but I kind of want to throw in like a fun question for our patrons. We are all fans of daytime disco here, but Jeff, when you are listening to some like laid back tracks, kind of like the ones that you make as Poolside, what do you tend to gravitate towards? Is there an artist? Is there an album? Is there a song?
Yes. I mean, there's three artists that totally, I think, inspire in a sort of blueprint type way the daytime disco sound. And they're all like older artists or whatever, but the band War, the LA based like soul fun, the groove of War is like exactly what I try to go for on. It's just super loose, very like hand played, very unquantized, if any of that, you know. It's just the perfect chilling in the park music. So War is definitely a huge vibe of the sound. And then songwriting, production, things like that, with the same thing as Bill Withers. You know, his classic song Lovely Day is like daytime disco personified before there was a title called Daytime Disco. You know, it's like such a perfect song. And like, you know, the bass line from Lovely Day is sort of interpolated on the bass line of the Neil Young cover Harvest Moon. They've got a similar, you know, it's not like a replay of it, but it's a similar groove. So yeah, I would say Bill Withers has that sort of sunshine soul, but he also has a, like, one of the things I like about Bill Withers is his delivery. He managed to be very emotive without, like, what would you say, belting. You know, some soul singers like really belt, and like, you know, Bill Withers is just like, just smooth, you know, but also emotive. And then JJ Cale, who is a guitarist, like a country guitarist from Tulsa. He's just passed away a few years ago, but he was like Eric Clapton's favorite guitarist. He's a real like band kind of guy, if you've not heard of him. But yeah, just loose, just that perfect pocket, like laid back guitar playing, like it almost feels like he's on his porch, like not paying attention, but it's perfect. You know, it's like amazing. So yeah, those are the three artists I would say really that inspire the sound of Poolside, like holistically in various ways. And yeah, a lot of dub reggae as well just fits that for me too. But can get a little annoying to listen to dub for like too many minutes at a time. So
too many minutes. I'm usually good off of like two.
One song and I'm good. I'm set for the month.
Well, I love it from like a producer standpoint, but yeah, for just it can be a lot after you know,
after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I've only written lyrics for like one song and it hasn't even been produced yet, so I can't get, I'm not a producer.
Nope.
I can't get into that dub reggae for long enough.
Fair enough. But yeah, those are all like, you know, people that I just really admire and aspire to kind of capture that like real soulful, like it's this perfect way of, you put a lot of emotion into your music, but it's not like, it's so restrained. That's that I find really special.
I love that. So listeners, if you want to get a little bit of that vibe, you've got to go check out Blame It All on Love by Poolside. And you know, it's almost time to close up the bar here, but before we do, I want to play our favorite game. Who is ready for some hashtag mood? Hashtag mood, you ask. Hashtag mood is the game we like to play at the end of every show to flex our playlist building skills. What we're going to do now is go over to the Tunes and Tumblers inbox on Instagram, where fans of the show, fans of Jeff, people who just wandered in and wanted to say hi, have left us moods. These are playlist moods. What better place to do this than an interview with Poolside, the king of the mood? So we are going to take two of these and we're going to create a playlist that matches that perfectly. Each of us will have the chance to pick one or two songs to match each one and create the perfect playlist. Who's ready for one of these? This one's a simple one, but I thought that it was perfect considering the album we're doing. At cute.pfp_ wants a playlist for Looking for Love.
So I'm gonna go with Kokomo by the Beach Boys to start us out.
At the Florida Keys. Wait, am I allowed to sing songs or is that a copyright thing?
I think you should stop.
Not for the reason that you're thinking.
And the other one I'm going to go with is Sex Tourists by French Kicks.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
You're playing around with the mood a little bit.
I'm here for this mood. Wholeheartedly.
I'm just going to say, listen to Bad Bunny.
Of course you are. Jesus.
There's a lot of Mexican songs that I could also bring into this, because I've actually, like, for whatever reason, not that I'm particularly looking for love, but just been in the mood lately for very like old school romantic Mexican music that my parents listen to. So any one of those, Los Temerarios, Los Wookiees.
Oh, Mi Corazón.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a song that's just called Mi Corazón.
There probably is several.
Jeff, would you like to take it next?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've got two options. I would go on the sad side, like the Smiths and Morrissey, because then you'll be like, man, it's like such a bummer to like be heartbroken and be lonely. Like he really can like make you feel sad about being, you know, what it's like to be single and alone. So to inspire you from the like a negative consequence kind of way. Mm-hmm. And then if you want a more the opposite side, I would say Teddy Pendergrass for sure, for just like, oh man, I need to get in the romantic space soon. I'd say TP could bring you there. He could just be like, all right, I've gotta find someone to experience this music with. So those are my two options for you.
I love it. I think I kind of want to do an 80s throwback for my happy one. I'm going to do the same thing you did, Jeff, happy and sad. Friday I'm in Love, The Cure.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that one's the upbeat Cure song. Like, I'm sure there are more, but that's the one I can think of. And then for the sad one, I was playing around with a couple. I just had one on the tip of my tongue. I'm just going to go with the first one because I can't think of the second one anymore. It's just Lonely by Noah Cyrus. Very soulful song. I really love Noah's stuff. I wish she would do more. But yeah, you know, it's a very stripped back song. It features her voice. There's like this real sense of agony and longing in it. And like it just it's a showcase for just like this powerful aching. Oh, I remember the next one. It was, yeah, the 1975 Sincerity is Scary.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, that song, I think it's about wanting love, but just your anxiety getting in the way and like not knowing how to get past just like everything that could go wrong by falling in love with somebody.
Ooh, I do want to add a real one mine. Oh. And it's Going Out of My Head by Wes Montgomery.
Okay.
That's a nice little old like jazzy song that has a lot of, I think, I'm not even entirely sure what it's about, but it just kind of like feels like it flows with like you're looking for something that you want to hold on to. It's just kind of like, all right,
we have one more mood to do, and this one I kind of took the daytime disco aspect of Poolside and found one that kind of matched that. This is from @angel_cassidy, who wants a playlist for Dancing in the Dawn.
Dancing in the Dawn.
I tried to find one Dancing in the Day, but she was the one who got closest.
Dancing in the Dawn.
Can we say Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, and then we need one that's like you know, Daybreak or something, and then we need Noon and then Afternoon and then Night.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we do. Actually, I don't know if you guys know who Juanes is, but he does a beautiful cover of Dancing in the Dark, and it's in Spanish. It's super cool. It's just like a completely different vibe. It's really nice. I'm gonna throw that one in there. Why not?
I'm gonna throw a gear into whatever this is and say Chop Suey by System of a Down, just because.
Fuck yeah.
Wake up.
Oh man, I'm at a loss, Anthony.
Let's also say 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
You guys are just love being weird song. Now.
It's a great way to start, you know, Dancing in the Dawn.
Well, I'm gonna be normal about this and go Sun It Rises by Fleet Foxes.
I don't know about normal, but that's a little too on the nose for me.
Sir? Sir. And then the second song, I'm gonna go with Amber by 311.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Because I mean, that's one of those songs I've listened to so many times it hurts.
I'm thinking of the songs that I have on my phone as like alarm songs, and there are ones that are like very loud and abrasive if I haven't woken up, but they're the ones that ease me awake. I'm gonna choose Two Missed Calls by a new Irish band called Modern Love. They're a very favorite new band of mine that I'm gonna be seeing in November when they come through Los Angeles. So this one, it's very vibey, very, I want to say like 2020s pop band. So if you're thinking of Joan, if you're thinking of Lainey, like that's kind of the vibe they go for. They also have like they're kind of embracing a pop punk post grunge sound with their new stuff. They're just all over the place. But this one, I really like the bass hook, and they also incorporate like some synth loops in there. It just kind of eases me awake, and I really like it. So Two Missed Calls, Modern Love is my second one.
My Dawn Time Disco or whatever the title was, I think I have a perfect one, which is Strawberry Letter 23.
Yes.
The Otis, it kind of has this really interesting arpeggio, and it just kind of has a bit of like a sun kind of glimmering vibe, and it's really smooth. It is very daytime disco-y, but Shuggy Otis is amazing also, if you guys haven't. Like a unsung soul guy. I think he's even from the Bay Area, Strawberry Letter 23, the Shuggy Otis original version. Brothers Johnson kind of somewhat famously covered it. It's the more popular version.
Yeah, that was the one that was in, was it Jackie Brown?
I don't watch movies, so I never know. People.
I don't watch movies. I just listen to music.
And I don't listen to music. I just watch movies.
No, it's crazy. People always ask me about movies. I'm like, I literally have almost never watch a movie. So just never, like always doing something else. But anyways, yeah, they're both good. I like the Brothers Johnson version, but the Shuggy Otis one is a little more ethereal.
Mm-hmm. Well, Angel Cassidy, I hope you like this mood besides Chop Suey. We'll put that at the very end, just in case you have slept through your alarm and you need a little bit of jolting awake.
Oof.
Yeah, perfect.
Or we'll just sneak it in and catch you off guard.
Well, listeners, do you have a mood of your own? Why not leave us a message by calling or texting the Tunes and Tumblers hotline at 626-604-6477, or follow us on Instagram and give us a mood when we ask for them in our story. Who knows, your favorite artist just may make you a playlist on the air. But you know what? It's that time. We got to shutter the bar. We got to send the bouncer. Okay, fine. Say it.
Closing time. All right, that's all.
Ham.
Womp.
But before we go, Jeff, do you have anything you would like to plug for listeners?
Yeah, of course. Check out my new album. It comes out October 20th. Blame It All on Love. It's everywhere where you listen to music. You can find it. So yeah, I'm excited for that to come out. Should definitely take a listen.
And how much longer are you on tour?
This one for just another week. I'm like 3 weeks in right now. So and then yeah, big tour in 2024, like January to February. So we'll play in most markets. So wherever you are, we probably will be there in 2024.
So we're gonna have to wait till 2024 to see you perform in LA.
Yeah, we're playing the Wiltern.
Oh, nice. You coming to the city?
I love the Wiltern.
Yeah, I think we're doing, what's it called? The Fox in Oakland.
Oh, in Oakland. Hell yeah. I love the Fox Theater.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely doing California as our first leg. So it'll be mid-January or something like that. So yeah, I'm excited. And yeah, the band's really cooking. So yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
We'll definitely be there.
Yeah. And thank you so much for being on with us. This really has been something. We have been waiting a while. We've been huge fans pretty much the entire time the show has been on the air. And thank you all for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to follow us on every platform. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. And if you go into the episode description and scroll to the very bottom, you can sign up for the Tunes and Tumblers Patreon. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and getting supplies to make these delicious drinks. Plus, if you go to a high enough tier, you get to hang out with Eric on the Discord.
Ooh.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds like a real treat.
Tunes and Tumblers was produced by Drew Franzblau. Jamie Kahn handles all our digital content. Our theme song is by the band New New Girlfriend. Our hashtag mood jingle comes to us from Jacob Jeffries and Jesse McGinty. And until next time, cheers!
Salud!
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.